We're in this series, What Does Love Require of Me? But what I want to deal specifically with is that distance affects relationships. You know, the distance that we have in our relationships has a dramatic effect on it. When my wife and I first, actually, I want to introduce my family before I get too far. This is my wife, Rachel, sitting there next to me. We have been married over 12 years. We are heading towards 13. Right there in the middle is Amelie. She is 7 years old, just started second grade. She is a type 1 diabetic, but she has the biggest heart for people that I've ever seen. She just loves people. She tries to find ways to just help people out. It's pretty amazing to watch her. And then Ayla is to the right there. She just started kindergarten, and she is the family stinker. That's just who she is. She's an all-in or all-out type of girl, so if she is all-in, good luck stopping her. And if she is all-out, good luck getting her to do something. You know, that's just kind of how she rolls. And then Abel is our son. He's about 3-4 weeks away from turning two. He's a blessing in my life. I love rolling around on the floor with him, playing cars, doing all those things. So just, that's my family. When my wife and I first started dating, we lived just over 6 hours away from each other. And it had an effect on our relationship because it was a great distance. I told her, I said, listen, this was before social media. This was before FaceTime and Skype, okay? Yes, that it was before all of that. And I told her, we basically have email, you know, and we basically have phone calls. And so I told her, I'm terrible, awful at talking on the phone, just awful at it. So if you want this to go somewhere, you're going to have to carry the conversation because if I don't talk with you, it has nothing to do with me not liking you or not wanting to talk with you. I'm just bad at it. So she did a great job of carrying on those conversations. After about 18 months, she ended up going to college very close to where I lived, and we were about 10 or 15 minutes away. And my life changed dramatically, okay? I was used to basically doing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, wherever I wanted. You know, I just had to be there for the phone call. Whenever that phone call was supposed to come, as long as I was at the phone, we were good. Well, now 10, 15 minutes away, she had expectations that I was gonna actually see her and show up and go on dates with her. And I wanted to do all of those things, but I guess I just didn't factor it in before she got there. I was like, oh yeah, I've gotta actually do things now and I gotta show up and there's college events that she wants me to go to with her. And so I had to change things in my life. So when we had closeness, when she was close, it affected my life. Well, this is the same in other relationships in our life, you know, in our marriages and in our families, at our schools and at our jobs. Distance causes difficulties in our relationships. But closeness can also bring this extra, I don't know, there's just something about it where we have closeness and there's love shown. And specifically, the distance in our relationship with God has a dramatic effect on the relationships around us. I mean, when our relationship with God is distant, our relationship with other people, our love for other people is gonna be small. When our relationship with God is close, we have a great love for God, it's gonna show up in our relationships with other people, and our love for other people is gonna be great. What I wanna share with you today, I wanna share with you my story. This is my story about just how this has played out in my own life. You know, I grew up in an extremely religious family. Like, we were the family that showed up and, like, unlocked the doors to the church and were there for everything that was going to happen that day and then locked the place up. That was basically our family. We would attend different, like, religious events going on in our community. That was just who we are. We were at everything. And at one point in my life, my parents took me to this this play where they were showing all these different biblical accounts. And my dad sat me down the next day to just have a conversation with me. He's like, hey, Tim, did anything stand out to you? Was there any account that just kind of, you know, triggered something for you? And I shared some of those moments where I was like, yeah, and I would share some of those moments. And by the end of that conversation, I gave my life over to Jesus. And I was so excited. Like, I was excited, like, jumped through the ceiling excited. Like, I felt light as a feather. Like, I was so excited. And I was just like, man, Jesus has put this, he has loved me, and he's put this love inside of me. I'll do whatever he says. And so I would start reading the Bible, and I would just, okay, you know, God wants me to do this. And I would do it. I would just obey. Now, this, I want to share a story with you that is a little weird, okay? But it's going to explain just the desire that I had to do whatever God wanted me to do, all right? I was part of this religious organization, and they had this award where they would vote on somebody who is most like Jesus, okay? I know, weird, all right? But at one time, they voted me that most like Jesus. I got that award. I just tell you that, not to brag or anything. I want you to understand, I just wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do. I was just willing to do it. And I would pray. I was so excited as to what God was doing in my life. As time went on, you know, I think my relationship with God started to become distant. I don't think it was intentional. I think that's true of any of us in our relationships. You know, there's very few times where we're intentionally trying to create distance. You know, think about it. I know in my life, my elementary best friend in elementary school is no longer my best friend. Not because I was like, I don't like you anymore. We grew up, we went different places, and it just, there's a distance now. I couldn't even tell you where he lives. And that can happen with each one of us, right? There's just a natural, it's almost like it's natural that you drift. And that happened in my life with God. I don't think it was intentional, but I stopped reading the Bible, and I didn't pray as much. And then I didn't obey as much. And then that unintentionality started to turn to being intentionally rebellious and intentionally doing wrong things. And my parents could see what was going on in my life, and it was concerning them, and they were trying to, you know, correct it and put up boundaries and steer me in the right direction. They would do everything they could think of. But I had just kind of come to a point where I had made up my mind. I'm going my own way, and I don't really care about that anymore. Well, they could see the mistakes I was making, and eventually the day came along where I got my driver's license. Now, teens, or those of you that are about ready to drive, maybe just got your driver's license, please learn from Pastor Tim's mistakes, okay? Do not do the mistakes that I made. Learn from me so that you don't go down the same road. But I got my driver's license, and the mistakes that I was making, they didn't become less. They just became bigger because they were with a car, okay? And at one point, I was going to some school activity, and I got in a car accident. I pulled out in front of somebody. They smacked me right in the side of the car. I walked away fine. My car, not so much. It was just destroyed. Police officer showed up and, you know, wrote me a ticket, which I deserved. And I wasn't sure how I was going to get back home because I was several miles away. This was before cell phones. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to contact anybody. So a police officer said, hey, I'll give you a ride home and just get you back to your place. I was like, okay. So he put me in the back seat of the police car, and we started heading home. We got into our like neighborhood area and driving down the street. I can see my mom is out in our yard working on her flowers and stuff. She loves doing the flower thing. She's working on flowers. So, she can kind of see in the peripheral vision that the police car pulls in her driveway. And then she sees her son sitting in the back seat of this police car. Now, my parents knew I was making poor choices. I was making a lot of mistakes. So I could see on my mom's face when she started putting this all together that she had like the mom bug eyes, like where you see in the whites of her eyes. And she's like, oh, Tim has finally made like the ultimate horrific decision. I could see it on her face and just sheer terror on her face. Well, the police officer and I get out, explains the whole story of what happened. And then my mom has that moment where she's like, oh, I'm just glad you're okay. And you're a moron, but I'm glad you're okay. And you know, that dual emotion that you go through as a parent where you're glad they're okay, but you made another poor choice. And as my mom's going through all of that, all I can really think is my dad is going to take me out when he gets home. Like, I am in serious trouble. Like, I'm glad mom's hugging me right now, but dad is not going to do that. Like, I'm in trouble. When we find ourselves in those distant moments, whether it's with God, or whether it's just in our relationships with people, when we find those, I want to give us three steps that we can take to close the distance. So let's look at these. Take three steps to close the distance. The first step that we can take is take the step of turning to God. Take the step of turning to God. Luke 15:7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now this word repent, it's not a word that I use in everyday life. It is a word that we tend to use in church. So I want to explain it a little bit to you. Repentance or repent means basically to turn around, to do U-turn, to go the other direction, to do a 180. So you are heading this way and you take a turn and you go the opposite way, all right? And in this specific case, what this verse is talking about is you are walking away from God and you are taking a step to turn toward God. Now I realize that some of you, this may be the first time you've ever been to Metro, this may be the first time you've ever been to church, you may not know what you think about the whole God thing, all of that. I want you to know that Metro Community Church is a safe place where you can walk through questions, you can seek out answers to those questions. We want you to, but I want you to know, even in those questions and things, I want you to understand that you do have distance with God. There is distance there. And so the first step that we can take is take the step of turning to God. Now, I think this is a hard step. I know it was in my life, because it's a step where you literally have to admit that I'm going in the wrong direction, and then you start realizing the distance you have, whether it would be with God or other relationships. And it feels like it's super far, and to turn around is really painful, where you're like, man, I know there's this great distance. And I don't know, like I'm ashamed. I don't know if anybody's gonna be there to accept me back. And what I want you to capture in Luke 15:7 is that what it says is all of heaven, when somebody takes that step of repentance, all of heaven throws a party, throws a celebration. Like they're high-fiving, they're playing your walk-up music, they're doing the streamers, all right, whatever, okay? Whatever picture you need to get in your head, they are throwing a party for you. It's exciting for them. They're like, did you see that guy? He just turned to God. Awesome. Damn, damn, okay? That is what's going on. So when you're having that thought like, man, but the distance is so far, just know, heaven's like, we're cheering for you. Just take the turn. We're cheering for you. Then I want you to catch this next verse. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Because in our distance with God sometimes, I think we're like, God, I know I'm messing up and you don't want me around, obviously. This verse says different. This says when we take that step to turn to God, he's gonna come near to us and he's gonna be walking with you in the other direction. You know, in my life, my dad eventually did come home. I have to explain who my dad is a little bit so you can get the right perspective, okay? My dad's first and middle name is Bruce Wayne, okay? It is. His name is Bruce Wayne. My grandpa purposely named him that because he loved Batman. And my dad is the Dark Knight, okay? He's intimidating. Like, I've been asked, like, how is he intimidating? I was like, he walks into a room. That's all he has to do. It's just intimidating. He just has this presence about him. He dresses in all black all the time, all right? He's thrown some color in there recently, but mostly it's black all the time. And even when I'm talking about it, I mean, they did the video thing, and so I had to check to make sure that they did not, like, bring my dad down here, because I just want to make sure he wasn't just, like, lurking in the shadows here. That's my dad. And so I'm like, oh man, like you talk about all time. This is gonna be an all time like punishment or correction. Well, I have three sisters and a brother. And what we would do when it was time for correction from dad is we would sit at the kitchen table, all right? Because my dad is a lecturer, all right? He is known for the lectures he has given us. And he is a lecturer. Now, we didn't sit at the kitchen table because it was like the most comfortable spot or anything. We sat at the kitchen table because we could see the stove clock from the kitchen table. And my three sisters and brother, we would keep track of how long our dad lectured at us. And we would like keep a running tally of, man, I am winning. Like, Dad really gave me the longest talk now. So we would kind of keep this tally where we keep track. So I just go ahead and I sit at the kitchen table expecting the longest lecture of all time. All right. And so I assume the position as a teenager, you know, you kind of do this. I just kind of settled in, going, okay, this one might be like an hour plus. And my dad came in, and I could see on his face something was different this time. It wasn't the same old routine of correction anymore. And on his face, there was this look of almost like hopelessness, of being distraught, of just like almost throwing his hands up, not sure what to do. And instead of being the longest lecture of all time, it's probably the shortest conversation my dad and I have ever had. My dad came in, he said, Tim, what's it gonna take for you to listen to God? And it crushed me. And that night, laying in my bed, I had the first real conversation with God that I had had in years. And I knew I was so far away. I knew I'd been walking away from him for a long time. And I really didn't know what to say. So I just prayed a very basic, simple prayer, nothing fancy. I just said, God, I know I'm so far away from you. I know I've been really messing up, but I surrender my life to you. But I know I'm so far away, so you're gonna have to make it really obvious where you want me to go. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you have to ask yourself that question. What is it gonna take for me to listen to God? And maybe it's not very much, and maybe it's a whole lot. But you know, our love for God affects the love we have for people in our lives. And we need to be listening to God and what he has for us so that our love shows up in our marriages and in our families and in our jobs and our schools. So the first step is take the step of turning to God. Second step, take the step of waiting. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, this waiting for the Lord, this waiting, I want to give us the right perspective on this, because a lot of times what we think about with waiting is, okay, I go to the doctor's office, I sit in the waiting room, I may flip through a magazine or check, you know, my phone or whatever, and then I get called to the next room, the nurse doctor comes in, diagnoses me, I'm on my way. That is not this waiting. This waiting is a waiting with action. It is an active waiting. There are things to do in this waiting. So let me give you this illustration. I told you, Rachel and I have been married. We're heading towards 13 years. We got married on May 28th, okay? So as you're dating, you know, you eventually, this happened with Rachel and I, you eventually start getting the questions of, where's this going? Do you guys think they're the one? You know, are you gonna, you know, are you gonna get married? All those type of questions, all right? And I eventually, if the guy does it right, he tries to plan some sort of special day where he's gonna end that special day, if he does it right, on his knee, asking his girlfriend to be his wife. And if she does it right, she's gonna say yes. So, my wife got it right, so. But if we, okay, so we get engaged, we say, okay, we're gonna get married on May 28th, and then we just did this, and just sat back, and we're like, all right, when May 28th shows up, we're gonna show up and get married and just sit back. It's all gonna come together. Don't worry about it. It's all gonna just come together. No, that is not what you do. All right? That would have given my fiance anxiety if I would have done that. All right? What you do is you say, we're going to get married May 28th. Okay, we got RSVPs, we got flower arrangements, we've got wedding dress, and who's going to be a part of the wedding party, and you've got a lot of things to do. Like flower, you know, there's too many things. Like the list is super huge and long. There's a lot of action to take while you're waiting for that day to come. Let me give you another illustration. I had the opportunity, privilege to play basketball. I got to play basketball all the way through college. And my desire was to always get in the game, right? I wanted to be in the game. Now, most of the teams that I played for, I sat at the end of the bench, okay? I was part of the bench mob. I sat at the end of the bench. But I desperately wanted to get in the game. And what I started realizing as my career went on is, okay, I want to get into the game, but there's still a lot of things. There's a lot of action that I've got to do before I get into the game. So I had to practice hard. I had to work on my defensive skills and shooting and rebounding. I had to work hard at those things. And I had a desire to make, in practice, I wanted to make everybody who was getting into the game, I wanted to make them better because I needed them to be better so that we would blow teams out so I could get into the game, you know? That's how this goes. So I wanted to make them as best as they possibly could be. And there were times where, you play your rivals or whatever, you know this is going to be a close game. And so I knew going into the game, I'm probably not getting into this game, but I would still have action to take, right? So I didn't even worry about pregame warm-ups. I would just stand at midcourt and watch the other team. And then I would give a report to my coaches and my teammates saying, hey, this guy, you know, watch out for him. I would just kind of give a report on what I was seeing because there's action to take while you're waiting for that big moment. And the same is true in our relationship with God. We may be waiting for that bigger God moment where we're like, oh yeah, that's what God wants me to do. But in that whole waiting, there's a lot of action to take place all the time. So let me give you a really basic list of actions that you can do while you're waiting for that next like big God moment where you're like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do next, okay? Now when I give you this list, I'm not giving you this list so you can just be like, oh, Pastor Tim, I checked all of them off. I'm good. That's not why I'm giving you this list. Why I want you to work through this list over and over again is because I want your relationship with God to be close. And these are things that keep our relationship with God very close because it's going to show up and affect our relationship with other people in our lives. So first thing that you can do, first action step, read the Bible. Really basic. Really simple. Just read God's word. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have decisions that you want to make in your life. You're going to be walking through things where you're going to want to know what God has to say. He says right here, the Bible speaks directly or indirectly to almost every decision we have to make in our lives. So read the Bible. Action step two, pray. Very basic. And I'm going to tie the third one very closely to these two, is journal. Write about it. I get so encouraged when I go back and I read about prayers that God answered or things that I learned that helped me through decisions where I'm just like, yeah, okay. It keeps my relationship with God. Sometimes we walk through those dry times in our life and we need to be reminded God's still working in our lives. Another action step, join a small group. We just started, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. We just started our semester of small groups. Here's the deal. You're going to be able to share the love that you have with God and the things that he's doing in your life. You're going to be able to share that with other people in your small group. And they're going to be encouraged by that. At the same time, you're going to hear about what God is doing in other people's lives. And you're going to be encouraged by that. And it's going to keep your relationship close to God. It's also going to affect your relationship with other people. How about this? Join a ministry team here at Metro Community Church. When I say ministry team, I'm saying be a volunteer. Volunteer somewhere. Because here's the thing. Every single person who volunteers any sort of time to do any sort of task here, literally anything, when life change happens here, when somebody's life changes forever, you were a critical part of that. And when you see how God is working because of a simple thing you're doing to volunteer, it keeps your relationship close with God. And you're seeing God's love show up in other people. And it's exciting. And it keeps that distance close. So join somewhere on some ministry team and volunteer. All right, so take the step of waiting. The third step to close the distance is take the next God-honoring step. Take the next God-honoring step. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Have you ever had that moment where a teacher, a parent, a boss, a coach, some leader in your life has said, "Hey, I need you to do this." And the first thought that you had was, "That's crazy. Why in the world would, that doesn't make any sense why I would do that." And then maybe you went ahead and you did it, and then you went, "Oh, that's why you wanted me to do that." Well, that's basically what this verse is saying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, right? It's just God is gonna have us take a God-honoring next step, and when he does, it may be like, "That doesn't even make sense." But I think when we take it, you'll find, you go, "Oh, now I get it." Okay, let me show you how this played out in my own life, all right? So I had that conversation with God. I have that prayer with God where I'm just like, "God, you're gonna have to make it obvious, all right?" And then I just started waiting. Now, I was doing my action steps. I started getting back into the Bible. I started praying again, all those things. But I was waiting for that next God-honoring step that he was gonna give to me. Now, I didn't have to wait very long. I only had to wait a couple weeks. Other times, it's not so quick, all right? But in this specific circumstance, I only had to wait a couple weeks. I grew up at this church camp, and they called me up, and they were like, "Tim, we need a cook for the summer. Would you be willing to take that position and be a cook for us?" And I was like, "I don't know how to cook." You know, I'm a teenager at the time. I was like, "I don't know how to cook." They're like, "That's okay. It's camp food. Nobody expects it to be good anyway." Totally joking. That is not what they told me. What they told me was, "Hey, it's more of a grill position. Do you know how to grill?" And I was like, "Yeah, I know how to grill." They said, "Okay, well, there's other things to teach you, but we'll teach you that when you get down here." I was like, "All right." Now, I knew that this was the God-honoring step. Now, it didn't make sense originally, right, being a cook, but I just said, "Okay." And I knew there was gonna be the "oh" moment as I was at this camp. And so because I knew God had me to be at this camp, I knew he was gonna do something with me there. So I would just pray this simple prayer at the beginning of every week. There was like 10 weeks in the summer camp summer. And I just pray this prayer. I was like, "God, I know you want me here, so show me why you want me here." Really simple. "God, I know you want me here, so show me why you want me here." Now, the camp was going great. Things were happening, life change was happening, but I didn't have like that "oh" moment, you know, where I'm like, "Oh, that's why God has me here." So I would just keep praying that at the beginning of every week. We got to about the second to last week of camp. And the camp director came to me and said, "Hey, it's gonna be high school camp week. Do you want to attend?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to attend, but I can't really afford to go." And they're like, "That's fine. We'll let you go for free. You just won't get a paycheck." And I said, "I'm cool with that." And so I attended the camp. And what God started doing with me is he started reminding me of things that I had forgotten. As I grew distant with him earlier, I had just forgotten these things. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was a weird kid, okay? I really was. I thought it would be the coolest thing ever to become a pastor. Like, I thought that would be me. Oh, I was like, "Yes, that would be so cool." I was the kid that, like, would force my family to like practice church stuff, okay? Like, I was that weird kid, okay? I realized like I'm probably the only one in this room that is even thinking that, okay? But I was excited about that. Well, during this week at camp, I started being reminded of some of those things. I started realizing, whoa, God is wanting to do something with me. And by the end of that week of camp, I had surrendered my life over to God to the point where I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna be a pastor." And I told a family friend, and she was like, "Oh, that's so exciting. You need to call your parents and tell them." And I called my parents and told them. They were ecstatic. I think they were more ecstatic because I was making wise choices. I was making good choices. I think it was more that than the whole pastor thing, but they were excited about it. Now I realize most of us, you're not gonna be a pastor. That's not the next God-honoring step for you. But I do want you to understand that God has given you specific abilities and gifts and talents that he wants you to use where he's put you. So in your families, at your jobs, in your schools, he has gifted and given you specific skills because he wants to have a close relationship with you, not just to have a close relationship with you, but he wants his love to show up in your life and show up towards other people, where other people start seeing the love of God because they're seeing you love them. And that's what started happening with me. I want to get really practical, though. I want to get really practical because you can hear all this and you can be like, okay, I see the steps, Tim. Like, I can do some of these things, but I'm not sure exactly how this looks up in the areas of my life. So I want this to just kind of come down to the bottom line. And that is, I want you to take a step closer this week. I want you to take a step closer this week. And it may be with God, and it may be in your relationships with other people. You know, maybe you do have a close walk with Jesus, but that love needs to show up with others. So let me give you some practical things here, all right? In our marriages, all right? One simple thing that you can do this week to just take a step closer to your spouse, go on a date. Just go on a date. Spend some time together. I know it gets crazy with kids to try to figure out how to make that happen. Take a step closer. Go on a date. You might even be able to do that today. And just talk. Make sure that relationship is getting closer. Now, in my relationship with Rachel, this year, I wanted to take a step closer. We are each other's best friend, okay? We have that kind of marriage. We are each other's best friend. My sisters tell Rachel this all the time. Like, Rachel laughs at pretty much everything I say. My sister's like, why do you laugh? He's not that funny, you know? It's just, I'm probably not, but we have that sort of relationship. But you know, I was like, I want to figure out how to take another step closer to my wife this year. Well, I told you that we're heading towards year 13. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but there's an object that's attached to every year of marriage. So like the 25th year is silver, 50th is gold. Well, the 13th year is textiles, okay? Yeah, it's textiles. Now, you're probably thinking, what? Now, here's what I was thinking when I saw that. I was like, yes, because my wife sews. And I was like, this is going to be like the easiest year to ever do what the idea I had, because there's so many things I can do with this. And so I was just like, all right, we got married on May 28th. On the 28th of every month, I'm just going to get my wife something that has to do with textiles. I'll just figure that out. So I gave her a gift card to go purchase all the sewing stuff that she needs. I didn't try to decide what all that was. I just let her figure that out. She has wanted this rug for her sewing room forever, and I bought it for her so that she could have it in her sewing room. I've given her some money to just go pick out a new outfit that she could get some new clothes to wear. All I'm trying to do is just find a way to take a step closer. Husbands, feel free to steal that idea, okay? Wives, if they do, don't be like, oh, Pastor Tim did that. No. Be thankful they're trying to take a step closer, okay? Wives, figure out your version of that. Maybe it's more than a date. Maybe it's something else. Just figure out a way to take a step closer, and you can start doing that this week. What about in our families? Teens, children. One of the simplest things you can do to take a step closer to your parents is just ask them a question. Ask them what their hopes and dreams are for your life. Ask them what they're seeing in your life, like the exciting things and maybe not the so exciting things. Just ask them, and then step back and don't talk. Seriously, that will go miles with your parents. And it'll show that you're trying to take a step closer in your relationship with them. Parents, it may be the same thing. You know, what are you seeing in my life? What are your hopes and dreams for me? I'm going to give you a question, okay, parents? I'm going to give you a question that I have asked my children. It is a really weird question, okay? But it is amazing the type of conversations you can have with this question, okay? So here it is. Now, my kids are in school, so I asked the main ones that are in school this. If a spaceship came to your school into any classroom or into any classroom and picked up one child or teacher, who would it be and why? Really simple. Crazy, weird question, but it is amazing what you find out with that question, right? You find out a whole lot about their classrooms and their schools, and it just starts the conversation. And sometimes we just need something that starts the conversation. We can do that. And maybe parents and teens, it's going on your version, like a daddy-daughter date or dad-son date or a mother-son, mother-daughter date, and just going out and just spending some time together doing something just to take a step closer this week. What about our jobs and our schools? When you're headed out to Starbucks or whatever your favorite, you know, coffee place or whatever is, and you're going to pick up your drink, maybe just buy another one for your coworkers or somebody at school. Just get them one. I know, sometimes our coworkers, I don't know if it's personality conflicts or whatever, but sometimes it can just be super hard. There's that one person at school or that one person at our jobs where it's just like, oh, they're so hard to deal with. Buy one for them and just show, I'm trying to take a step closer. And most likely, I mean, they may be like, I hate that drink, okay? They may say that. And when you say just follow it up with, okay, what's your favorite? And then the next day or whenever you go the next time, buy them that one and give it to them. And all you're trying to show is, I'm trying to take a step closer. I'm trying to close the gap on this distance. That's all I'm trying to do in this relationship. And then lastly, maybe it's with God. You know, maybe today is that day. Where you find you're like, you know what? I do need to hand my life over to God. Take that step. Take a step closer to God. And for others of you, maybe you've already done that, but you're realizing, you know what? I've let some distance in here with God, and I need to get closer. So take a step closer this week. I've already given you some very basic steps to take that. You can start doing that today. Whatever it is, let's start taking a step closer this week. Let's pray. God, I pray as we might be wrestling through that question, what is it going to take for me to listen to you? As we wrestle through, what's the step I need to take to get closer in my relationship with God and other people? Pray that you would show that to us today. Lord, for those individuals that may be here that have never handed their life over to you, pray that right now they would go ahead and take that step. And if that's you, just pray this simple prayer. God, I know I'm far away from you. I know I'm making bad mistakes. I'm making bad choices. But I surrender my life to you. I'm going to walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage us, show us how to continue to walk with you every single day. I pray these things in your name. Amen.